This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 15th, episode 2140, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Coming up on today's show, we get to talk to screenwriter John Fusco. Oh, my gosh, you guys, this guy is amazing. And then we're also going to do really bad ads, which are the ads you submit that you find that we read.
Breaking news from Fall Watch 2019, Jamie Jennings reporting.
You guys are not going to believe this. She hasn't had the freaking baby yet. Are you kidding me?
And for new listeners, that would be Jamie's horse, Pink, who was due about 2 months ago and still hanging out.
She was due, let's see, it's been she's 8 days overdue now. And apparently they can carry them, with all my internet research, they can go for over a year.
Really?
It's fine.
No, they can't.
Oh, my God. The people are like, oh my God, my mare is overdue. What do I do? They're like, you got like 400 days till it's overdue. I'm like, no, do not do that to me. And you know what? Not just to me, to Pink, because her ankles are all swollen. She's got that like ventral line of edema. That's a big swelling right down the middle of her belly. Her udders are huge and like rock hard.
She is so
She's depressed.
You right now.
Her head is down. She looks just miserable. I mean, if I didn't know that there was one, I'd think there's four.
She so hates you right now.
Poor thing. Oh, my God.
Well, I guess we'll keep that bumper handy then. in the meantime.
By the way, not waxing.
So, Daily Winnie time. It is time for a birthday. We want to welcome Hillary Borneman and say happy birthday to her. She is one of our terrific auditors, and we've had a bunch of new auditors signing up too, so welcome to all of you. And happy birthday to anybody I missed. See, I'm going to start saying that from now on. That way I cover all the people I missed.
No, that's cheat. Oh, that's cheating.
That's cheating? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh. Tiffany, what are you doing to me? Tiffany Warren. She posted something on Facebook to let me know, Jamie, I was just listening to yesterday's episode, and I felt compelled to inform you that my mare last year never waxed up. I was obsessively compulsively checking the milk with the strips for 2 weeks, so I also feel your pain. By the way, I also ended up with a chestnut mare. Tiffany, if I could reach through this and punch you with a face, I would. I did like she meant to get a paint, and she got a solid chestnut.
And Jamie wants a black baby, and she's going to have a chestnut.
I want a black colt. I mean, you know, it's, use the secret. You got to put out into the world what you want, and I'm putting it out there.
Yeah, that worked the last time.
Put it out there for years.
Worked so well.
So, Tiffany, I then messaged her. I said, well, did the test strips work? Because you do the milk test strips, and you, for those who don't know, you squeeze a little milk out, and you mix it with this thing, and you dip this strip in. It's like when you're testing the chemicals in your pool, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And you compare it on the little, like, nope.
It's supposed to tell you, like, when they're within 24 hours, right? Isn't that the idea?
12 hours. They get very specific within 12 hours. And last time they worked perfectly, 12 hours. Oh, my God. At night, the milk changes, like, the consistency. It's perfect. So I said, did the test strips work? She wrote, it told me she was 12 hours out for 2 weeks. Anybody, I'm going to kill you. you. Oh, God. Thanks for that.
We have a very special guest today, John Fusco. You all know him for writing blockbuster hits involving horses, Young Guns, Young Guns 2, Hidalgo, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, Marco Polo, and 69 other movies. What you may not know is John is a horse guy and has been involved in the preservation of a certain breed of horses here in the U.S. Fusco is also a blues musician and into martial arts pretty seriously. He has a new film coming out called The Highwaymen, starring Woody Harrelson, Kevin Costner, and Kathy Bates, which follows Texas Ranger Frank Hammer and ex-partner Manny Gault on their hunt for Bonnie and Clyde. Well, John, it is so exciting to have you on. And before we talk about your brand new movie coming out, The Highwaymen, I have to say that I literally cried when Marco Polo went away. I was so addicted to that, that when I heard it was not going to be there anymore, I drew a tear. I love that show.
Thank you so much. You and me both. Yeah, it was a quite an adventure. It was epic in the making of as it was the show. You know, taking us around the globe from Mongolia to Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Borneo, and you know, for 2 years, you know, we were able to make 20 hours of you know, premium television and a story that I'd wanted to tell all my life.
Oh, it was beautiful. And of course, we know that you rode Mongol horses and did that for a little while. And of course, there were tons of Mongol ponies in the making of that movie, which must have been fun for you to do too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the Mongol horse culture is just so fascinating and deep and rich. And connected to my love for Native American horses. And so, you know, those breeds, you know, are genetically identical in so many ways. You know, they all tend to be genetically 13-2 hands, tough, solid little horses with mule feet and 5 lumbar vertebrae and, long manes and exotic coloration. I've always believed that, you know, we talk about the Spanish horses that came to the Americas, but I believe there was also an influx of Mongolian horses up into, you know, into the northern plains. So for me to go from my native horse love to the Mongol culture was a smooth transition.
I think we're going to see that story be told next. I mean, you've got to give us a documentary on the history of the horse.
Yes. Well, you know, it's really, it's informed a lot of my movies because, you know, back when I was writing Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron for Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks, I was doing my research into horse history, and I realized and kind of found that the true pure Native American horses that you see represented in Remington and Russell sculptures was still extant, and that certain esoteric herds had been jealously guarded and protected by different tribes. So you had like Havasupai horses, pure blood Cheyenne Ute horses. And there had been an old cowboy back in the early 1900s who dedicated his life to preserving them and keeping a herd together. What happened was when I tracked down his story, I found where those bloodlines had gone. And in fact, I found his defunct registry called Horse of the Americas in a trunk in Fresno, California, and bought a registry out of mothballs. Bought some of the original bloodlines and put together a breeding herd that then led to a recrudescence of the Horse of the Americas registry, which is now a thriving umbrella registry for Spanish colonial horses.
Wow.
Wow. Just doing some research, you found all that. That's absolutely amazing. And thank you for saving a breed like that. I mean, not many people can say they did that. Now, you talked a little bit about how the story, first of all, you mentioned Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. And as a teenager, when that movie came out, oh my God, as a horse crazy teenager, I absolutely loved it. Did you when you were writing it, did you think, you know, Spirit needs to be voiced by Matt Damon?
No, I didn't. I didn't think of that at all. And, you know, when DreamWorks was running different names by me, I was intrigued by Matt, and Matt really wanted to do it. And, you know, it's funny because I did not meet him because I worked for 4 years on Spirit, you know, which is a much longer process than on most movies as a writer. But, you know, animation is just so elaborate. And I would come and go. I would write my script, and then I'd go off, work on something else, and the concept artist would work forever, and then they'd bring me back out to look at what they put together, and I would keep writing. So when it got to production phase and Matt came in to voice it, I wasn't there. And I did not meet Matt until years later while making Marco Polo, and I walked into a bar in Beijing, and I saw this guy with a New England Patriots cap sitting at the end of the bar, and that's what intrigued me. And then someone else I knew in the film industry said, "Oh, that's Matt Damon." And I walked up to him and I said, hi, Matt. And he looked at me like, okay, it's going to be, you know, yeah, an American tourist. I'm going to say hi. And I said, you know, John Fusco, I know I wrote Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. He jumped up out of his stool and hugged me. Oh. And we ended up sitting down and talking for the longest time. And he said that his children, he said, no matter what he's done in his career to his children, he was Spirit. and he said the kids still watch that over and over again. But yeah, Matt really was a good choice for it, as was Bryan Adams with the soundtrack.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I can't hear Bryan Adams without thinking about Spirit or the Kevin Costner movie where Bryan Adams did "Everything I do it for you.
That's right. Yeah.
Great choice.
At one point we had Garth Brooks was going to do it. Then we had Paul Simon actually did a test version of a soundtrack, and it was like we just kept, you know, trying to find the right voice, the right sound, and Bryan Adams just came in and just nailed it, and brought so much heart and soul to it. That soundtrack never gets old for me, even though.
Man, Paul Simon would have been a whole different thing. Same with Garth Brooks. So
I know. Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you, John, we've covered about 100 over the last 10 years. We've covered about 100 top 10 lists for top 10 horse movies of all time, and Hidalgo is always in the top three. Always in the top three.
Yeah.
Everyone.
That's great to hear. No, and that was another one that came out of this, you know. It's, you know, when I was doing Spirit, I put this herd together. I suddenly had a herd of 33 pure colonial Spanish horses from different tribal strains outside my window while I was riding. And so that's why I wrote, you know, probably the first animated horse birth in the history of cinema, because I watched it happen.
I put
five foals on the ground naturally, no vets, no, you know, I had a wild preservation herd out there, and it was like, you know, hands-on research. And, you know, my wife said to me, "I'm just glad you're not writing about elephants."
Or giraffes.
You bring home a herd of horses. But, so then digging deeper into that, I learned about Frank Hopkins and Hidalgo. And so, you know, when I was putting all this money into preserving these horses, you know, and someone had asked me, they said, "You know, you're spending a lot of money on these horses." I said, "Look what it's giving to me. I mean, you know, there wouldn't have been a Hidalgo if I hadn't brought these horses here. Spirit wouldn't have been what it was." And those horses just gave so much back to me creatively. And, you know, have been a big part of my life. And my end goal in this, if you could call it an end goal, you know, first of all, I have to say that, you know, I didn't save these horses. There has been a sort of underground community of conservators scattered around the country who really care. And that's how I was able to find some of these bloodlines and put together this horse of the Americas herd. What I really wanted to do was get these horses back to their respective reservations and get the young people working with them. You know, these horse cultures like the Lakota and Cheyenne and the Chickasaw and Choctaw. One of my projects was to restore the endangered Choctaw horse, which is the horse from the Trail of Tears that literally carried, you know, the people along the Trail of Tears. There's less than 100 left in the world.
Hmm.
You know, they are a critically endangered breed. And so I ran a special, like, so I have sub projects, and one was the Choctaw Preservation Project. My goal was to get those horses back to the reservation. It never happened. And I was kind of heartbroken about it. But just recently, I started working with the Chickasaw tribe in Oklahoma. And Chickasaw Choctaw horse is essentially the same subbreed that came along the Trail of Tears. Well, it now appears that the tribe is very interested in bringing home their Chickasaw horses to their people and to their lands. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, listen here, John. I live in Oklahoma and I have a farm, and I'd be happy to house any wild horses that you want to give me. I'll take care of them.
Yeah, Jamie has a couple of Mustangs, and we work really hard on all the shows here on the Horse Radio Network for Mustang adoption. So, yeah. So
That's great. I have to say that these horses, although they're called Spanish Mustangs in some circles, or I earlier said Spanish Colonial, that's furniture. It's actually colonial Spanish horses, or that we call them the CS horses. Very different than the BLM Mustangs. That's not to say BLM Mustangs are not, you know, a beautiful, iconic horse that deserves preservation, but these are the pure horses, the descendants of the horses that came over with Cortez and DeSoto.
Right.
They did not go away. You know, the U.S. Cavalry came in and killed a lot of stallions from those native herds and introduced Morgans and larger horses so they could adopt the incredible endurance traits and survival traits of the Native American horses, but bring them up in size.
Mm.
So they would, because they, you know, they were obsessed with size. But so that's how you got the BLM Mustangs. And while you look at their feet, they've got the big hooves.
Right.
If you look at a pure colonial Spanish Mustang, they've got these little mule feet, we call them. They do not need to be shod. They can go anywhere. They're so hardy. And they are, in my opinion, and I know a lot of your Arabian people are going to get their hackles up, but I believe they're the finest endurance horses in the world. Those horses and the Mongolian.
Spoiler alert. I feel like we all knew that you would say that, considering Hidalgo kicked the ass of all of the Arabians in the movie.
Oh boy, did I have the Arabian crowd.
I bet you did.
Let me say, I love the Arabians, and you know, it's all connected. I have a horse who's a Cheyenne buffalo runner. His name's Little Fox, and he's a crazy roan. He changes color four times a year. And he was a fantastic endurance horse. And I was training for the 100-mile endurance ride in the state of Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
And we were doing 18 miles a day before breakfast. And he came to love our training so much that one morning I decided to give him an off day, give him a day off. And I was in my bed, and I heard this sound clopping around on my porch. And my wife went and looked out the window. She said, "Oh my God, Little Fox is down on the porch."
He's
and
ready.
He had gotten let himself out. He got out of the paddock and he came up and was literally under my bedroom window, walking around on the porch. He loved it so much. Sadly, he tore a muscle in his leg during our training, mm-hmm. and we had to pull out at the last minute. But I love endurance. I love the whole endurance scene.
Well, we do have to talk about a new movie that's coming out. And I noticed that when we looked at your list of movies that you've written for, almost everyone has a horse in it in some way, shape, or form.
Before we get to the Highwayman, I have a question because I really need to know this because this was, it's just important to me. Accepted wisdom, John, is that Pat Garrett killed Billy the Kid. But yet in Young Guns 2, you have some Bill Roberts walking around telling the tale. Do you think that he really was still alive that whole entire time? What's the story?
Well, you know, Rushy Bill Roberts claimed to have been William H. Bonney, and he was actually eventually granted a pardon by the governor of New Mexico as Billy the Kid, and pardoned for his crimes. A lot of what he told, a lot of his stories lined up, and there were people who remembered Billy the Kid who confirmed that it was him. The jury is still out on that one, and there's kind of a rivalry between, here in Texas, in Hico, where he was from and where he's buried. They claim that that's the home of Billy the Kid, and of course, Lincoln County doesn't want to hear it. It was just when Young Guns became an unexpected box office hit and I was approached to do the sequel, I knew that my version of the sequel is the story of Billy the Kid that's been told 42 other times.
Right.
Going back to the days of Johnny Mac Brown. And I felt I've got to do something very different here. And what hasn't been done, and I've been always fascinated by this Brushy Bill story and thought, what a great way to frame the story. So I can't say one way or the other, but I do know that I created a whole lot of trouble.
I do know that you also created, to me, what is the greatest soundtrack in movie history, which is an entire album of cowboy movies, cowboy songs sung by none other than John Bon Jovi. I mean, does it get any better?
Yeah. You know, when I wrote Young Guns, One of my go-to soundtracks to write to was Wanted Dead or Alive.
You're my best friend.
And so John Bon Jovi heard about that, and he was a big fan of Young Guns. And he and Emilio Estevez were good friends. And Emilio told him, that Fusco used your soundtrack when he was writing. And so I asked Emilio to go to Bon Jovi and ask him if we could use Wanted Dead or Alive in Young Guns 2. And he replied, he came back and said, I don't think it works because we talk about a steel horse and it's kind of, too much of a rock and roll song, but I'd love to write something new.
Hence, for the ready? And wake up in the morning and I raise my head. I got an old coat for a pillow. Okay, I can do the whole song.
This last night's been.
I don't know where I'm going. Only God knows where I've been.
I'm a devil on the run, a six-gun lover, a candle in the wind.
Boom! Oh, golly, my life is complete right now.
So I'm shooting in New Mexico late at night, doing a night shoot, and a van pulls up, and John Bon Jovi gets out of the van with a battered acoustic guitar case. And we go into Emilio's trailer at 2 o'clock in the morning. He takes out his guitar and a folded up notebook sheet with handwritten lyrics. And I see at the top Blaze of Glory. And he played the song for me and Emilio. It was the first time anyone heard it.
Awesome.
I still have that notebook sheet with those lyrics. And that was it. And so another crazy thing happened that night. And this always happened when people would visit the set. I heard the song. I said, that's it. That's going to be in the movie. That's going to be Blaze of Glory is going to be our theme. And he said, okay, while I'm here, could I do a cameo? Can I be in the movie? And I'd like to get shot. Now, Tom Cruise showed up on the set of Young Guns on the first one, and he said the same thing. We shot him. Randy Travis, we shot him. For some reason, they all want to get squibbed. So we put 20 squibs on John Bon Jovi, and we put him in the pit with Lou Diamond Phillips and Kiefer Sutherland for the big escape scene. But then the guys, you know, because it was 3 o'clock in the morning, they all got me and they said, you're going in the pit too. So if you watch Young Guns 2, when John Bon Jovi comes up out of the pit, that's me with him with the long hair, with a cattle brand.
It is.
And I strangle the deputy with my handcuffs.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I get away. John Bon Jovi gets shot 20 times and blown back into the pit in a blaze of glory.
Going down in blaze of glory.
When you were a teenager, you never pictured that whole scene ever happening in your life.
That's right. It was crazy. But to your point about a horse and everything, I will say that we don't see any horses in The Highwaymen, but that does not mean that I did not write horses into the script.
Well, there is a horse, though, in the trailer.
What's that?
There is a horse in the trailer.
Do we have a horse?
There's a, I think it's one of the sheriffs or something in the trailer riding along on a horse shooting at the car. I don't know. That's what was in the trailer.
Oh, you know what? Son of a gun, you're right. You're right.
Do you want to know how I know that? That horse is one of our listeners' horses, and she let us know about it.
Wow. You know what? Okay, I feel better now. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's at a prison break scene at Easton Prison.
Yes.
That the prison farm guards are on horseback, and yep, you got it. But I had written in, Frank Hamer had a beloved horse named Bugler, and Bugler was his last horse in his life, and was an aging horse, and I had written him into the script, and he was quite a character in the beginning, but because Frank Hamer actually lived over on Riverside Drive, and we were really leaning into the theme of, you know, this collision with modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Hewed more to authenticity. And, you know, he was driving his truck around those back roads mostly. But I did attempt to get Bugler in there.
You started this project, The Highwaymen, in, what, 2005, I read? You've been playing around with this one?
I was actually a little earlier than that. Mm-hmm. Because I was standing out in the desert shooting Hidalgo with Vigo and my producer, Casey Silver. And Casey asked me what I wanted to do next, and I told him the Frank Hamer story, the untold side of the Bonnie and Clyde story. And that's when it started, all those years ago.
I mean, and you had slated for it. I think you wanted Robert Redford and Paul Newman. What a team that would have been. It took long enough. You had to get Woody Harrelson and, sadly, Kevin Costner.
We had Redford and Newman. They were going to do it until Paul got sick. But we're so pleased with Kevin and Woody. They're closer to the actual ages of the historical figures, and they're just magic.
Well, Woody in the semi comedic role, as much comedy as we saw, we didn't get to watch the whole movie yet because we couldn't. But he kind of has that semi comedic role, and he is so good at that.
Oh, he's just his timing, and he's the real deal. And those two guys together for the first time, you know, we had our world premiere last night here in Austin. And they just, you know, blew the roof off the place.
I bet.
Those performances.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. You've been in movies for a long time. This is coming out on Netflix when the end of the month, like March 28th or 29th, right? It'll be out?
Well, The Highwaymen with Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, directed by John Lee Hancock. It's going to open in select theaters on March 15th.
Okay.
In some of the bigger cities, and then it's going to have its worldwide launch on Netflix on March 29th.
And boy, Netflix has changed things, haven't they? The companies like Netflix have changed things.
As a storyteller, you know, I can just speak from my personal experience that Netflix has given me opportunities to tell stories that mean a lot to me, and tell them in my way. And they've given me the opportunity to do the stuff that I love and to give it first-class treatment.
Well, like Marco Polo, you would have never, ever in the past, 10 years ago, been able to tell that story the way it was told over time, allowing it to develop. Oh. It would have never happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you so much for your interest and for all that you do for horses.
Well, thank you for being on, and thank you for all you do for horses as well. As we said, it's The Highwaymen, and it's coming out the 15th in select theaters, and then on Netflix the end of the month.
I mean, and okay. Thanks for singing some John Bon Jovi with me. That just made my day.
Well, we should do like the kind of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga duet.
Oh my God. I'm on my way to Texas right now.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Well, that was cool. How cool was that?
I do.
He
really
sang
love
with
him.
You.
He sang with me.
You had
together.
A duet. He picked right up on that too. Well, he is a musician. I mean, he loves that stuff. So.
I'm a musician too, Glenn. Okay, you can tell by my amazing talent.
We all heard that there.
Just heard. But seriously, I can't stop singing that song. It's all of the time I sing that song. Anytime. You wake up in the morning, you're like, wake up in the morning, and I can't get over it. So that soundtrack was like the greatest thing. And I mean, John Bon Jovi was mentioned in my wedding vows. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been a very unhealthy thing
relationship.
In my relationship, is that in the wedding vows, Chad actually had we had to like write 5 or 6 things about the person we're marrying, and Chad said, and he wrote this to the minister, and the minister said this. Chad said that he never realized he'd marry somebody who loved horses so much, and he never realized he'd marry somebody who loved John Bon Jovi that much.
So you must have loved the story of him being shot 20 times in the movie.
Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. It was a thrill to hear that interview.
I think the thing that surprised me the most, and you know, he's definitely the biggest screenwriter we've ever had on the show, is how involved he is in the making of the movies. I always pictured the screenwriters kind of in the background, but you know, he's obviously...
They're at a desk and they write it and they hand it off.
Yeah.
But you think about it, like sometimes they have to do rewrites and things like that. It makes sense that he'd be on set, but what a life.
But helping pick the music and the whole thing.
Movies? Yeah, it's insane.
I know. He's had a ton of movies. And if you look down through his credits, you know most of them. I mean, it's just crazy. And you know, then he gets to work with the likes of Woody Harrelson, Kevin Costner, and Kathy Bates all in one movie. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. We tried to watch it. They sent us a screener code, but we could not get in. We just couldn't get it to work. But it does look fantastic. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be great.
Well,
I'm
thank
really excited
you to Jennifer, who did about 30 emails to make that happen. And thank you to John Fusco's people, who also made it happen. We appreciate that. And it was just a lot of fun. But you know what? If it's your first time here, hang around. We do something fun on Fridays called Really Bad Ads. And we're going to get to that right after we hear from our title sponsor of Kentucky Performance Products.
Each week, you carefully plan out your horse's training schedule. You work with your trainer to fine-tune his flat work. You school through grids to perfect his jump and set up multiple courses to educate your eye. You enjoy long hacks to keep his mind fresh and body strong. Show day arrives. You take a deep breath as you enter the ring. "We've got this," you whisper so only he can hear you. You move as one, sailing over each element in perfect harmony. The feeling you get when it all clicks. It's why we do what we do. This feeling is brought to you by Joint Armor. Joint Armor's complete formula provides your horse with the nutrients necessary to support healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Joint Armor maintains fluid motion and flexibility in hardworking joints. It supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Joint Armor provides high levels of both glucosamine and chondroitin, plus 100 milligrams of hyaluronic acid. Best of all, Joint Armor is affordable. One small jar lasts up to 75 days. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, the time of the week when our listeners submit some ads they found on Facebook or Craigslist, and we have a little bit of fun with them. And everybody that submits all month, and in this case, all last month too, are eligible. We put all the names in a hat. We draw a prize winner at the end of the month. And this month, we are giving away some dry shod boots that Jamie has gotten a lot of use of.
Especially this week. Oh my God. Can I just tell you those people that are in the middle of the bomb cyclone, the land hurricane that we had this week, that are currently standing in 10 feet of snow? This is the boot for you, because I'm in 10 feet of mud right now, so I get it. And the dry shod waterproof boots, they're called the Haymakers that I got. The comfort range and temperature in this boot is 75 degrees, so you can wear them when it's warm, all the way down to negative 20. It takes care of your foot from the range. What other boot says that? You can wear it in the summer or when it's negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. That's insane. So basically, they call them hardworking farm boots for hardworking women. They're women's boots. And they have these outsoles. These like the top half of the boot can be folded down, or they can be worn really tall. I fold them down when I'm done and put my foot in with jeans and flip it up, and I don't have to tuck anything into the boots. They've got these really big spur rests, really, really awesome boots. Go check them out. Dryshodusa.com. They're the Haymaker product.
And have they proven to be waterproof?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it fun when you wear those boots and jump around in the puddles and not get... It's kind of fun.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
Well, we're going to give a pair of those away. That's a $135 value at the end of the month to one of those people that have submitted. And yes, some of the pictures coming out of Colorado with that blizzard are incredible. And I know a lot of our listeners out there, they were posting, and our thoughts are with you. Holy smokes.
Let me just also point out that for those who did not see something that happened to my house in the devastating winds.
Yeah, you had the heavy wind too, right?
We had wind that came from every direction. Usually here it comes from the north or the south. And this was like a swirling wind the whole time. And my barn was finished quite a while ago. And I've been calling going, hey, you guys going to come and get the porta potty? Don't need the porta potty out there.
They never picked those up on time.
It didn't get picked up. And I know the barn guys were freaking out, like trying to get it picked up. And then I sent a message to them. And I'm like, hey. This thing is not looking so good. It's kind of moved around a little bit. And then I sent a picture and it's down.
Oh no, it fell over.
The porta potty was blown over in the wind. And in the things I've heard in Oklahoma category, the fence builder comes by and he's like, hey, your porta potty's tipped over. I was like, yeah. Yeah, I know. Thanks. And he goes, you know what? Looks like somebody squished a Smurf. Because everything that comes out of a porta potty is blue.
Well, not everything.
Well, not everything. No, other thing. But this is and now they've picked up the porta potty because I lost my mind. And
it's fertilizer.
It looks like somebody, he's right. It looks like somebody done squished a Smurf. I have a picture of that. If you want to see it, I'll do it.
You've had more problems with poo at this particular property since you've moved in.
Oh, my God. That's right. We had the whole...
First, they popped her septic tank.
That's right. They were drilling in these beautiful fibrous lines that I'm talking on right now to have this high-speed internet, but not before they drilled into and out of my septic tank.
So you're saying your fiber lines run right through the septic tank?
No. Oh. They were, if it hadn't have shredded the rest of the entire septic tank. So...
Has the smell stopped at your property yet?
Oh, my God. Not after the porta potty adventure. I was in the barn, and I'm like, what do I smell like that porta potty smell? You know that smell?
Yes, it has a smell, yeah. Like the chemical they use.
Like, it's just that chemical they use. And I was like, oh, God. I'm going to post pictures of the before and after on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Okay. The porta potty incident.
Of the porta potty.
Your damage. Incident. Can you claim that on your insurance? Cyclone damage.
Bomb cyclone damage. Clean up on all four.
How many? What's about the poor sucker who has to clean it out when it gets back to the lot? Ugh.
So the guy came up and he drove up and I could see the truck and I was like, hey. He goes, where is it? I'm like, it's over there. He goes, I don't see it. I go, because it's on its side. Good luck.
Can you imagine? Who gets that job that has to clean those? Ugh.
No, you know thanks. What? Stay in school, people. And if we have anybody right. that cleans porta potties, we'd love to talk to you on the show.
So I would, send me actually.
At Horse Radio Nova.
I would. We'll book you right in. I want to hear all about that job.
Come on, Monday morning.
All right. You're starting off with Rebecca.
I am. So we've got Rebecca, and she sent in, and this is Roma. Roma, R-O-M-A, like the tomato. Roma Appmer for $1 in King, North Carolina. So you know what that means. Well, there's no punctuation and there's no capitalization.
I gave you all of those today.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And this one's in King, North Carolina. Said, this Roma's going to fall early this spring. She was... Wait a second. I'm giving her too much credit. This Roma is gonna foal early spring. She was bred to paint studs. She hasn't been rode in a year. In year. She is my granddaughter horse. She got her license and wanting to sell horse so she can. Period. Get car call. 1200. What?
Horses out, cars in.
Isn't that the justice? Those are the girls.
I wonder how many times that happens.
Don't do it. Just walk, get a ride. I just got a ride from friends. I got to keep my horse.
All right. If you send in your own, in other words, you record the ad and send it in to us, you get double the entries for the prizes. And Mo sent this one in.
Hi, it's Mo with a really bad ad out of Texas. This is a Facebook group called Horses for Sale in Texas. And the ad reads, 10-year-old gelding looking for a new home, $300 or best offer. We'll consider trades for bred goats, Nigerian or Nubian in parentheses. Not broke, not good with goats. You must load yourself, will not deliver, located in Springtown. Now this horse, maybe he's part goat. He is a gray, and I can't tell if he's either super muddy or he's got black markings. I'm not really sure. I'm looking on my phone. And he has a picture of himself in a lime green halter drinking out of a purple bucket, which is located on top of a bird bath. Huh? There's another photo of him where he looks sort of sad in a purple blankie. Another one where some young lady is kissing his face. He looks equally as sad. And in his final photo op, his head is cut off. I don't know what the purpose is of that one.
What's the bucket doing in the bird bath? Thank you, Mo.
It's hard to describe a picture, but she did a really good job.
She did. Lulu sent this one in. Buckskin horse, $1,500. Gelding buckskin, approximately 15 years period. Up to date on shots and coggins. He has been sitting in the pasture the last couple of years. Was well behaved. Get that? Was well behaved. Needs someone experienced to work with him. Will walk trot, but does not canter. He will throw you at the canter. A very smart horse. So apparently it makes you a very smart horse if you throw the rider at the canter.
Just walk and trot, though.
Yeah, he walks and trots. Well, he did a year ago. We're not too sure now because he was well behaved. Maybe not so much anymore.
No, all Let's of us see. Horse people listening are like, oh, he just needs a chiropractor or a saddle fit. But whatever.
Or a rider that knows how to ride. One of the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Danielle sent this one in. Let me play this one for you.
Okay. I put this on the auditor page, but I figured I would read it out loud.
Thank you, Danielle.
So this is a really bad ad from the Washington Horse Tack Exchange Sale Wanted. No punctuation, so I'll try to read it like I can. $900 today only. Don't ask 2,000 questions or won't answer you. Here is all you need to know. She's sound. She's gentle. She's used to turn a few barrels when she younger. Last 5 years raising babies and eating hay. A few trail rides she loads and will load in an old two-horse inline. Would not just throw beginner or kids on her after been raising babies 5 years. Common sense would tell you that gonna need a tune-up. After sitting not a mean horse, she rode gentle, quiet before will be help for you if needed to load her first. $900 gets her. We'll take PayPal debit other to hold her. So that's it. Best hurry. She is going to sell today. I don't think today. She sold today.
Very well read. That's yeah. More difficult than it looks and sounds. It really
it's
is.
It's like those ads, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Come and get it.
That was very well read. Well done, Danielle.
Oh, Rochelle sent in the next one. ISO riding horse. Very, very detailed and specific ISO, by the way. ISO riding horse, $1,000 in Wisconsin. Looking for riding horse speed cows trails. Will pay more for ride horse if horse needs TLC. That's okay. Also.
That's it?
Somebody was like, get out the computer. She's like, oh, crap, I better hit send.
Either that or we did determine that Wisconsin's the drunkest state in America.
That's true.
And this was drunk typing. Could
you know
be.
What? Well, I've been wanting a horse. What do I want it to do? Just walk and do some high-speed cow trails.
Did you notice that we didn't have one of our Wisconsin listeners or auditors comment on the drunk thing from Wednesday?
They keep trying to remember, but they get too drunk by the time they get in the house. If you want to know what we're talking about, listen to Wednesday's show. That was the 13th. And we had a list of drunkest states and top 10 list. And I think 8 were in Wisconsin.
All right. Let's
they're
take.
Proud.
They're very like. Proud of their drinking. They take it very seriously there. This was Ashley. Ashley sent this one in.
Hi, Glenn and Jamie. I couldn't decide on which one, so I decided to submit two really bad ads today. The first one is really cute, actually. It's Mini Horse, Knoxville, Tennessee. Surprisingly strong for such a small size. Very fun to play with and great for kids. Also, he loves bacon. Ha ha ha! Exclamation point. The next one...
Ashley, please...
There's a misspelling in here, and...
What horse eats bacon? How did they even determine that?
That is a very disturbing visual.
I mean, by the way, I started feeding Scooter my pony red grapes. I just had some in my hand one day. I wanted to see if he'd eat them. He loves red grapes.
He loves anything that has sugar in it. And Ashley,
yeah.
Listen, honey, you are so sweet. I could tell you from Tennessee immediately. I need you to come on the show and be co-host with me sometime because your voice is just to die for.
Well, here's more of it.
The word, let's just say my first thought was definitely not something PG, but we'll just jump right in here and y'all can see it for yourselves. Quarter horse mare, $500. She is 14 and... I think they're trying to spell ornery. She needs a gentle but firm female to handle her. I don't have the time that needs to be spent with her. She has ground manners and is broke to ride. She doesn't run. She's old and fat. I don't blame her. Call, text for info. I won't describe too much here. Don't be offended by my questioning when you ask about her. I despise horse traders. And for your emotional well-being, I highly recommend you do not consider calling me if that's what your plans are. Thanks, guys. As always, love the show.
Wow.
That's passive aggressive.
That is very passive aggressive. And it sounds so perfect coming in here, Southern. I highly recommend you do not call me.
Because I'll rip your face off.
That's great. See, I am.
Was that a woman or a man? It was a woman.
Oh, that's a woman yeah. Because women are queens of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah, that was definitely a woman.
Enter my mother-in-law. And I call her on it. I'm like, wow. That was quietly aggressive of you.
That was a good ad, though.
I'll kill you if you I'll call, but you just go ahead and try.
Ask one question wrong and you're out. All right, next. You have the next one too, Lilla.
Lilla said this one in. Three-year-old Philly, by the way, from Philadelphia, because it's P-H-I-L-L-Y, like the baseball team. Three-year Philly on train. Halter broke, 600.
On train?
On train.
The Philly's on the train?
She's on the train. Okay. She's a conductor. Elbit, P-H-I-L-L-Y, Elbit Philly 2 years ago. There's no punctuation, you're a jerk.
I was going to take this one, but I decided to give it to you.
I don't even know what I'm reading.
I didn't either.
Elbit Philly 2 years ago, she was supposed to be 1 year old. I was going to train it for my grandkids, but I ain't not. Of course you're going to train a yearling filly for your grandkids because you apparently hate them. I was going to train it for my grandkids, but I unable to health problems, phone calls, only no text, no messages or email will be answer.
Are there some phones that just don't have the period and the comma? Is there a brand of phone that doesn't come with it, maybe?
Let me tell you, when you talk to text, you know, you're like, hey, Siri.
Yeah.
And then you want to talk. Oh, mine just went off.
I bet you that's what it is. I bet you that's what it is, because you actually have to say comma and period, and they don't. They just assume it's going to be put in.
I just said, oh, my God. And Siri said, indeed. So you say, hey, Siri, you have to say period. No, I want to train it for my grandkids, period. You have to speak.
Yes, you have to do
your punctuation.
Maybe so, that's where Elbut. I wonder what the first word is, capital L, capital B, U, T. I don't know what she was trying to say there. I have no idea.
All right. Siri, can you fix this for me, please?
Oh, you've just woken up every Siri that everybody is in the house. You've woken them all up now. We apologize.
You're welcome.
Jamie apologizes.
Alexa, turn the music on loud. Hey, Siri, how's it going? Your Siri's going to answer you.
All right. Denise sent this one in. This Alexandra posted this in Frisian Horses Sale / Lease on Facebook. ISO, a Save My Marriage Frisian. Husband recently changed jobs and is now home a lot, which means I need to be home less or I'll kill him. Being a combat veteran, I'll probably have to do it while he sleeps, but I digress. It's new horse time. Budget is commensurate with requirement and temperament being the absolute most important thing. Must be able to take a joke, a supervised child on a walk or trot, an overconfident, underskilled husband on a trail ride, selfies with me. 16 hand and above is required. We're a tall family. A week in the life of said horse, two dressage lessons a week. We'll go out. The husband ain't doing those. I can tell you that's the wife riding that. We'll go out on outings with my eventer friends just so I can canter through the water features, daily trail rides, and of course, lots of selfies. No age preference, no maintenance preference. Got one good eye? No problem. Just looking for a nice all-around family furry family member. An all-around family furry family member. Jeez. Happy to provide vet and trainer references. Also, I live in Northern Virginia, so a butt limited on how far I can travel to see your magnificent creature. Okay. Let me just translate this whole thing from the horse husband point of view. This is a woman that's always wanted a Frisian, and the husband is an excuse to get one. Any arguments? No, I didn't think so. No. This is not for the husband. The husband ain't taking two dressage lessons a week on this Frisian.
No, that's what she's saying. She's saying, here, let me translate as the woman.
Okay.
My husband is home too much, and I'm losing my mind, and I need a horse to divert my attention. So what I need is a horse that my kid can ride, my husband can ride, and I can ride and take selfies with, because I need to get out of the house because he's driving me freaking crazy. So, yes, she's going to be riding the horse.
Yes.
She wants to take dressage lessons and go out with her eventer friends. And I get it. And we all want this exact horse. She's going to murder her husband in his sleep.
And I will put $100 down that he rides that horse no more than once in the next year.
Oh, it's all a joke. Like, I remember when I was buying Duke.
You bought Chad one. Yes.
I did. I bought him one. And he rides him at least once a year. If I groom him and tack him up, which I can't lift that big-ass heavy Western saddle up there. God, How do y'all do that? All right. Kelly sends the next one in.
Oh, my God. Look at the picture.
Oh, my God. Alexa, play Horses in the Morning. There you go. I hate to do...
Now they just started over. The poor people were listening to us, and now they started from the beginning. They're going to be so mad at you.
Kelly says, I hate to do this, but I have to. Kelly sends this one in. She didn't actually say this. And she clearly blocked out the Facebook page that this was on, but it was a Facebook page. I hate to do this, but I have to. I'm M-seal my mini reg appy stud. His B-day is 5/16/13. He stands at 32. Oh, my God. There's no punctuation in this one.
I didn't take it out either. This is a screenshot.
Do you sometimes take out punctuation?
No, I would never do that to you.
God, you do that, don't you, jerk? His B-day is 5/16/13. He stands at 32 inches. He loves attention and being groomed. He is not trained, T-R-A-I-N-D, for Kiffs to ride, but he can be. He is my pastor. Pet for my big hose to have a friend. He has came a long way since he came to me over a year now, almost the number two, but he's rags and I'm asking $1,300 for him. He is a good little stewed. S-U-T-D.
He lives in Wisconsin.
He's all was at the Fancy when he sees me and will follow the letter U R the pen if it's just him in there located Bancroft, Maine.
Oh my God. Stop. There's not a word spelled right.
No, there's not. But I just want to, from the general overall picture, is it is a tiny, super fat mini.
This is a Thelwell pony fat.
He's a stud. First of all, geld that right there. Just come on. But $1,300, and why the hell did you get him for your kids to ride, number one, and number two, to be a friend for your big horse, because he's a stallion. What are you thinking?
I want to know, this little tiny, tiny white, I mean, like white mini, is in Maine. How do they find him when it snows?
Oh my God, that's a great question. He's 32
inches
tall.
Everything is white. There's no black on this thing. It one snowdrift, he's gone. You know, you see him in the spring.
Just thank God he's not currently in Colorado. Yeah,
he would be gone. Jeez, he's tiny.
This is. By the way, before we get to the last one, so Corina, Jennifer, and Laura also submitted, and you guys are in the running for the prize.
Well, this is the last one. We always save Scott for last, and Scott submitted. He's been a while. Scott's been lazy, I think, so he finally submitted one.
Or busy, one of those.
No, he's just lazy. All right, here we go.
Hey, this is Scott in Virginia. It's been a while, but I had to read this bad ad that Danny Russell shared to auditors. It's from Royce Bissio Horses to Washington Horse Tack Exchange Sale Wanted. And it reads, with nary a punctuation mark to be found, $900 today only. Don't ask 200 questions or won't answer you. Here is all you need. No, she's sound. She's gentle. She used to turn a few barrels when she younger. Last 5 years raising babies and eating hay. A few trail rides. She loads and will load an old two-horse inline. Would not just throw beginner or kids on her after been raising babies 5 years. Common sense would tell you that. Gonna need a tune-up after sitting. Not a mean horse. She rode gentle quiet before. Will be help for you if needed to load her first. $900 gets her. We'll take PayPal, debit, other to hold her. So that's it. Best hurry. She's gonna sell today. And as bonus, it comes with a photo of a red mare and a text caption that reads, big, fast, papered, bred-to-run mare broke raising babies lately today only. U-Haul only today. So there you have it. Better get her before she's gone.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Same ad!
Isn't that the same as Danielle?
Yeah.
Did?
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for y'all. Good for you.
All right. Thank you all for submitting ads. We really appreciate it. And we'll be picking a winner here toward the end of the month. If you want to send ads in, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
Alexa, play Retired Racehorse Radio.
Is this how you get the downloads up? You do that all day long.
I walk in people's houses and I'm like, hey, Siri, Play Retired Racehorse Radio.
Episode 3 is out now.
It is.
We have been getting a lot of people booking the cruise. Thank you all for booking the cruise. I think we got like 12 or 14 cabins or something now. So, and there have been people asking, Michelle has been on a cruise this week, so if she's not getting back to you right away, if you're emailing her, our travel agent, that's why. Just go to horseloverscruise.com. She will get back to you. She's very good at that. But she'll get back when she actually gets off her current cruise. What a job that is. Just go on vacation all the time.
I have a friend that is also books travel for people, and she like travels everywhere because they want to show them the places. It's a total scam. What a scam.
It does sound like it's fun, though.
I'm heading to Fiji because I have to check out this resort.
It's kind of like that other job I have with Finding Florida. You know, traveling
except
places.
Except for you're in Florida.
Doing things.
You need to do Finding America.
Well, we thought about that. Finding Planet Earth. Perfect.
I love it.
Perfect.
Love it.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday, right? I mean, we're here on Monday. Yep. We'll be back on Monday.
You know what's going to happen by Monday?
Baby.
I'm going to have a baby.
Of course, we heard that last week. So maybe you'll have a baby.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. This is killing me. Okay. Spay, neuter, geld.
See you, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. Hold on to something. You're in this
Alexa,
cyclone.
Start this episode over.
Play it again. Siri, play Horses in the Morning again.
Play Wednesday.